Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
Episode 4, Top Guns, Don and Tom. In this episode, we track Don's collision course with Tom Cruise, beginning with Tom's role in Endless Love and the world's obsession with Brooke Shields' virginity. His breakout performance in Taps, the sex comedy he did with Shelley Duvall, and his love affair with Rebecca De Mornay in Risky Business. This episode is all about Tom. Don was still licking his wounds over his dismissal at Paramount. He was no longer in a position of power as a studio buyer, but rather one of many hundreds of sellers hustling to get a green light.
Don didn't have a project for Cruise, but he was keeping tabs for him ever since his Grease 2 audition. I was at E! Monthly when Don first told me about him. He was a baby, just 2 years out of high school.
Like Don, Tom had a rough high school experience. By the time he had graduated from Glen Ridge High School in New Jersey, he had attended 15 different schools. Like Don, he found himself an outsider. Like Don, he joined the wrestling team as a means to prove himself and blow off the frustrations of being a new kid. And, like Don, he had a strained relationship with his father.
You know, I honestly didn't want the name. I wanted to define who I was for myself. And when I decided to be an actor, that's why I changed it. I just dropped my last name. It's Thomas Cruise. Cruise is my middle name. And for me, I wanted some say in what my name was. You know, he gave it to me.
Tom's father, Thomas Mapother Sr., was an abusive bully with a drinking problem who could never hold a steady job. The family nickname for him was the Merchant of Chaos. Religion would play a central role in Tom's childhood, but while Don rejected Bible study, Tom sought it out.
I went to St. Francis Seminary when I was a freshman in high school. I mean, I really never considered becoming a priest. It was 2 years after the divorce, and somehow I quite haven't figured out why I did that. When I went there, it was like a very secure environment, you know, a boarding school. And I think I just needed that.
Don always spoke of his Rosebud moment. Seeing the movie The Greatest Show on Earth was the inspirational moment that led him to the movies. For Tom, his Rosebud might have been Guys and Dolls. Tom had suffered a sports injury in a wrestling meet his senior year. The injury forced him to look elsewhere to try and fit in. With no prior acting experience, he decided to audition for the school play. The role was Nathan Detroit.
Sue me, what can you do me? I love you.
For Tom, high school theater was literally life-changing. Unbeknownst to him, there was a talent agent in the audience. She was there to scout the older sister of one of her acting clients. The agent signed him immediately. She suggested he move to New York City.
My father gave me $900. He gave me $900 over a period of months to help me out. And I moved to New York and, you know, worked bus tables.
Tom didn't have to work odd jobs for long. He booked his first movie within the year.
Brooke Shields. And I, Martin Hewitt.
I want to share.
Endless Love.
Tom was cast as Billy, the friend who inspires the lead character, David Axelrod, to commit arson in the name of his love for his girlfriend, Jade Butterfield, played by Brooke Shields. The film also starred James Spader as Keith Butterfield and Ian Ziering as Brooke Shields' little brother, Sammy. The film was directed by Franco Zeffirelli, who made perhaps the greatest of all the Romeo and Juliet films. Back to Endless Love. In Endless Love, Zeffirelli hired Tom for one reason and one reason only, his hot body. Tom's performance is perhaps most notable for how little he's wearing. He's shirtless in skin-tight jean shorts. In the middle of the scene, he randomly takes his shirt off. There's no reason for him to take his shirt off in his one and only scene in the movie, but for Tom, it was strategic. It was the only way to get noticed by the industry.
Some woman did that to me, I'd burn her damn house down.
Hey, I tried that. Did I ever tell you guys? 8 years old and I was into arson.
You're full of it.
No, I'm serious. I lit a whole pile of newspapers. You ever try to light a whole pile of wet newspapers? Jeez, it smokes like crazy. I got real scared, see? But you want to hear the wild part? It's like I'm a hero or something. They thought I saved the whole block. To this day, my mother thinks I'm a hero.
Other than Tom's incredible abs, the scene is most memorable for Tom's high-pitched voice and goofy giggle.
To this day, my mother thinks I'm a hero.
You know, Tom was very aware that his voice didn't match his masculine intensity on the screen. It's not easy for someone to permanently change one's voice. His voice transformation was quite remarkable.
You are here for me to enlighten you, to edify you, to send you off into the now not so unknown future. So come along with me. How to fake like you are nice and caring. No, I don't want a microphone.
But back then, Tom's squeaky teen voice was a perfect fit for the 80s YA genre, and there was no bigger YA star than Brooke Shields.
But if you touch my tummy right now, you can feel it.
Feel what? How'd you make your tummy move like that?
I'm not doing it.
It's not doing it by itself.
Yes, it is.
She had already played a teen prostitute in Louis Malle's Pretty Baby, and at age 15, she had starred in Blue Lagoon. After shooting Endless Love, she was the most famous actress in the world, appearing that year on over 30 magazine covers. There were all those infamous Calvin Klein jean ads, merchandise deals, even her own Brooke Shields doll.
Brooke Shields, she's a beautiful doll.
It's the Brooke Shields doll with long, beautiful hair you can style in so many ways. You make believe she's a model. You can pose her and pretend she's a teenage star. There's even a ring for you.
Thanks, Brooke.
Brooke Shields, she's a beautiful doll.
Having played roles where her character loses her virginity, Brooke's real-life virginity became a national obsession. The press had become so intrusive that she was forced to announce she was no longer a virgin at age 20, revealing her dalliance with the actor Dean Cain.
Tom thought that being in a film with Brooke would lead to bigger roles, except the only gig he could land was an extra in Taps.
It's a great example of there are no small parts, only small actors. An actor gets a day player role, but he is so committed in his role that he gets the attention of the director. The story goes that one of the actors fell out, and there was an opening for the third lead opposite Sean Penn and Timothy Hutton.
I guess I was 18 when I did Taps. And I remember being, I couldn't sleep at night. I was both very excited and very concerned that I might get fired. You know, when you dream about something and then it's coming true, you can't believe it. And there is this sense of, well, if this is the only chance I have doing this, I want to make sure that I enjoy every moment of it.
Tim Hutton plays the cadet major leading his cadets to resist the authorities who are trying to shut down their academy. Tom plays the hothead. He's all energy and intensity.
You couldn't trust him to stay with us. How the hell are we going to trust him to save water? Son of a bitch, Wes cut our strength in half.
Everybody, listen up.
Get your field packs and weapons and man your battle stations, Montgomery. Check the 50s and 60s. Make sure they're prepared to like they did Charlie. The bastards killed him!
Tom was now on Hollywood's radar. For a time, he lived with the Estevez brothers, Emilio and Charlie Sheen. Emilio would later be Tom's best man in Tom's wedding to Mimi Rogers. There were the Lowe brothers, Rob and Chad Lowe, and the Penn brothers, Sean and Chris. Around the time Don was in retreat up in Laurel Canyon, Tom was just down the hill, living in a Spartan rental in West Hollywood. He had just a mattress on the floor and a telephone so his agent could reach him. He lived off pizza and the adrenaline of finding his next film. When we return, we dive into the Tijuana road trip movie that Tom never talks about.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those, too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
He probably shouldn't have taken the role in Losing It.
Dave's been itching for it. Woody can't stand it.
If I can wait, why can't you wait?
And Spider will do anything for it.
Spider! Stop him!
There comes a time when nothing seems more important than losing it.
It was a terrible movie, and it's no wonder he never talks about it. But I must say, he's quite good in it.
Losing It was one of those raunchy 80s teen sex comedies, part of the zeitgeist of films like Porky's, Hard Bodies, and Hot Dog.
By day, they're the finest hot dogging, freestyle skiers in the world. By night, they really take chances.
You busy for dinner?
Now that's a girl I can take advantage of.
This is the motion picture comedy that's proud to go downhill fast.
These films catered to a youth market wanting to rent R-rated comedies about kids losing their virginity. It was as if the media's obsession with Brooke Shields losing her virginity had sparked a whole new film genre. In Losing It, as you might expect, Tom's character sets out to do just that. He's got two buddies to help him out. Sleazeball Dave, played by Jackie Earle Haley, who had just starred in Bad News Bears, and the super jock known as Spider, played by John Stockwell, in real life a recent Harvard graduate, who would later play Cougar alongside Tom in Top Gun. The movie also featured Top Gun's Slider, Rick Rossovich, and, as Tom's love interest, Shelley Long from Cheers. The film was directed by the late Curtis Hanson, who would go on to direct The Great L.A. Confidential. All this to say, this was quite a powerhouse creative package for a film about three boys who take a trip to Tijuana to lose their virginity. The story plays out like a 1980s version of Y Tu Mama También. In the film, they pick up Shelley Long, a housewife unhappy in her marriage. Naturally, as this is a fantasy teen comedy, Tom's character and Shelley's character, who is twice Tom's age, end up hooking up. The movie is as shallow as it sounds, and yet there is an endearing quality in Tom's performance.
The kid had given a strong breakout performance in Taps. And then his agent tells him to go and do a buddy movie where he travels to Tijuana to check out a donkey sex show. I mean, this had to be the lowest point in Tom's career.
And a low point for Don as well. Paramount executive Don Steele recalls being unable to reach Don without having to drive over to see him at his house. Don wouldn't come outside, and they ended up conducting meetings from his intercom call box.
Don was just too depressed to be out in the world. I didn't see him in person for almost, a year. He was humiliated. Paramount had been his family. And now they were making movies like Trading Places and Terms of Endearment. And all Don had was a script about a welder who wanted to be a ballerina.
Don was a gambler. And he had put all of his eggs in one basket. Flashdance was everything for him. He willed the movie into production. He came on board after Linda Obst had developed the script with Tom Headley, a British magazine editor who had come up with the idea. Don would bring in Joe Esterhaus to write it. And after being turned down multiple times by Adrian Lyne, he finally secured him as a director. Don had a vision for the movie, an MTV-style music-driven fantasy with great clothes and a hot soundtrack. He was taking a page out of his American Gigolo playbook. Meanwhile, Tom was picking himself up off the mat after losing it and was angling for a role based on the biggest YA book in the world, The Outsiders, to be directed by Francis Ford Coppola.
I'd heard that a librarian had inspired Coppola to make The Outsiders.
Coppola had received a letter from a middle school librarian from Fresno named Jo Ellen Masakian. "Dear Mr. Coppola," she wrote, "we are also impressed with the book, The Outsiders, by S.E. Hinton. We have a petition circulating asking that it be made into a movie." On the petition were about 15 pages of children's signatures in different colored pens. Hinton had written the book when she was in her late teens. Coppola was touched by the sensitive greaser kids with big feelings. He had been a drama counselor at a summer camp. The idea of working with a bunch of kids on a movie made him nostalgic for his summer camp days.
If you were a 20-year-old actor in Hollywood, there was no bigger role than a part in The Outsiders. You had Macchio, Swayze, Lowe, Estevez, Dylan, C. Thomas Howe, Diane Lane. Sean Penn called him about the audition. He couldn't believe what he had heard Coppola was doing with the actors.
Instead of actors going in one by one, actors were assembled into groups and they would take turns playing the different parts. They quickly realized they were competing against each other in a live rehearsal setting. Tom would audition for the dreamy ponyboy role, then switching to the charming soda pop role.
"Hey, tell me, ponyboy, what's it like being a hero, huh? Or what? A hero, man, you know, like a big shot even."
"Also says how you saved them kids, ponyboy. Had they burned death, hadn't been for you."
He ended up getting the part of Steve Randall. He went from the preppy and losing it to full greaser with snaggly teeth and greasy hair. Tom faced the challenge of trying to stand out amongst perhaps the greatest ensemble of young actors in movie history. He did everything he could to make the part bigger than how it was written.
Tom didn't know how to do a standing backflip. So on his downtime, he asked the stunt coordinator to teach him. While the cast was out partying, Tom was in backflip training.
This was classic Tom. How could he give more energy to the scene? Do a backflip 10 feet in the air off a parked car. The movie certainly isn't Tom's movie, but Tom makes his mark as a young man who's not afraid to fight.
"And what are you doing walking by your lonesome on the street, huh?
Jesus. None of your business, Marty.
What do you mean none of my business? It is my business. Look at my nose.
It's huge."
Movie stars in the golden age of movies always played versions of themselves. That was the point of it, to come across on screen as they would off screen, so that they would be accessible to their audiences. Stars wanted their audiences to feel as if they really knew them. To do so, they needed the right role, the right story, the right director. They called this combination a star vehicle. At age 19, Tom didn't have the clout or the notoriety to choose his star vehicles. But then, in Risky Business, Tom gets his vehicle. He could play the most winning and charismatic version of himself. When we return, we track Tom's collision course with Don after Risky Business and Flashdance become unlikely hits.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
All right. But will you do me a favor?
Anything, Cookie.
Don't steal anything. You know, if I come back here and I find anything missing, I'm going straight to the police. I'm not joking.
The voice, the cadence, the sensitivity. It's Tom playing Tom. There's a vulnerability here that just wasn't present in other male actors.
One of the best Christmases I had, my parents got divorced, and I was like 12 years old. I was living in Louisville, Kentucky, and we didn't have any money. And so what we did was, is a month before Christmas, the gift was is that every time, you know, you did something good, you got to put straw in the manger or something, and you had to we picked names out of the hat. And I have three sisters and my mother at that point, and it was just us five, and we would do something good for that person, you know, throughout the whole month until Christmas Day. And then, you know, you told that person, unless they figured it out already, who it was. But through such the hard times, our family kind of geared things, made things easier to keep things positive, opposed to dwelling on, hey, you know, look, it's Christmas and, you know, we don't have any money to like buy all these gifts. I mean, it was the important thing was, is that we're together and we're healthy and enjoy the moment. Enjoy today.
Risky Business was far from a surefire hit. On paper, it had the potential to be another Losing It, with Tom again playing a teen losing his virginity. But first-time director Paul Brickman had a vision of giving the raunchy teen comedy genre a stylish French New Wave approach. Brickman made a comedy about falling in love, what the ancient Greeks called ludus, that feeling of infatuation mixed with the sweetness of first love. It was all there in that infamous scene scored by Tangerine Dream, where Tom and Rebecca De Mornay's character have sex on train car number 12. The screen tests for Tom and Rebecca were done in Steve Tisch's living room with producer John Avnet holding the video camera.
I was doing the outsides at the time, and I only had, this is my last free time before, you know, I told him I wouldn't come in to tape for it. And so I flew in late on a Thursday night. And I taped early, like 5 o'clock in the morning, I met Rebecca on a Friday. And then I had to fly out a couple hours later because I had to work all Friday night. We just got together. I mean, I came in, you know, I still had like my tattoo on my arm and tooth all chipped. My hair is just kind of back, a little greasy and stuff. And I just explained to Paul Brickman what I was going to do physically with the character. Just so, I mean, he could see, you know, where I was going, my instincts and the choices of the scene. And then visually, you know, I told him would play a big part in the character. So just, I told him, just relax, you know.
Rebecca De Mornay had initially been rejected for the lead role. Her only film experience was a one-line scene in the Francis Ford Coppola movie, One from the Heart, the movie that led to Coppola's bankruptcy, which led to his choice of directing The Outsiders, which led to Tom's scene-stealing role as Steve Randall, which led to Tom now in a position to take the lead in Risky Business, opposite the unknown Rebecca De Mornay. It may have been the longest screen test in film history. It went all night and into the morning. By 5 a.m., Paul Brickman, John Avnet, and Steve Tisch had found their cast. Another producer on the film, the future billionaire David Geffen, was so impressed with Tom's videotape, he had a cassette copy made for himself.
Tom and Rebecca fell in love during filming. At the time, Rebecca was dating the actor Harry Dean Stanton, who was twice Rebecca's age. He was known to keep fit by swimming laps. Tom would see him at the hotel pool swimming for hours. I mean, the man had some real stamina. But for Tom, it was quite frustrating. Here he was doing steamy sex scenes with the beautiful Rebecca, and her boyfriend was swimming laps all day waiting for her to come back to the hotel.
On set, Tom self-identified as a Christian. While the rest of the cast members were partying, Tom would always retreat to his hotel room for Bible study and a workout.
Perhaps the Bible study helped him to be patient in waiting for Rebecca.
It was a sweet love affair. Tom would make her homemade Toll House cookies, and she would introduce him to European art films. Between Rebecca's sophistication and Paul Brickman's European sensibilities, Tom's game was elevated.
I truly believe that Tom wouldn't have had the career he's had without Paul Brickman. Sadly, Paul's career never took off. After they wrapped production, Warner Brothers gave him the note that the movie needed more sex and they wanted boobs in the final party sequence. Brickman laughed them off at first. He wasn't making a teen sex comedy. But unfortunately, the studio execs weren't laughing. They forced him to change the ending, which, as Brickman had conceived it, was much darker and more truthful, kind of a morality tale.
But the studio didn't want a morality tale. They wanted a Porky's poster. Tom in bed with girls in bikinis and money raining down all over him. David Geffen, in particular, drew a hard line. They were going to fire Paul Brickman if he didn't reshoot the ending.
Why does it have to be so tough?
Come here.
What?
My name is Joel Goodson. I deal in human fulfillment. I grossed over $8,000 in one night. Isn't life grand?
Brickman was forced to make the ending more upbeat, more of a teen movie. Get him into Princeton. Everybody wins.
Guess we won't be seeing each other for a while.
I know.
So you going straight home now?
I don't know why.
Just thought it might be nice if we spent the evening together.
I'd really like that. How much you got on you?
How much have I got on me? I got $20.
$20, Lynn? What are we gonna do about this?
Well, can I send it to you?
Can you send it to me?
Well, because I don't have that much here. How about I write you a check?
You think I'd accept a check from you? Am I stupid?
What if I had a bond in the bank?
My name is Joel Goodson. I deal in human fulfillment. I grossed over $8,000 in one night. Time of your life, huh, kid?
Brickman had no choice. He had to bring back Tom and Rebecca for reshoots. After the movie was finished, he never watched the film, but he had done what he could to preserve the integrity of the movie.
When the movie opened the following summer, I went to see the first matinee in Times Square. And people were going nuts. They were screaming back at the screen and cheering on the kids. During the sex scene, an usher walked up and down the aisle with a flashlight trying to dissuade the old guys from whacking off. That's how sexy the chemistry was between Tom and Rebecca. Around the time the movie came out, Tom's sister graduated from high school and Tom brought Rebecca with him. Like Don, Tom came back to his high school with something of a chip on his shoulder. You see, he was the guy who never fit in, who never made the football team or could get a date for the prom. And now, just 3 years later, he was a movie star. Like Don, he couldn't help but feel some resentment in coming home. Ironically, Don was sharing in that same feeling of I told you so with the studio that fired him.
For Don, Flashdance would go on to earn 4 Oscar nominations, including editing and cinematography, and winning for Best Original Song. Don's comeback was complete, from getting fired from the studio to delivering a $200 million movie on a $6 million budget. And Tom, who just a year ago was starring in a Tijuana Donkey Show comedy, now had a hit movie, due in large part to his infamous dance scene in his underwear that Tom himself had choreographed. Once again, Tom had elevated his role in creating a movie moment nobody would forget. His Ray-Bans from the film saw revenue shoot up 50% after the release, and Jennifer Beals' off-the-shoulder sweatshirts became the hot fashion trend. Don and Tom were back on the rise, and in a few short years, they would make history together. The Don Season 2 is executive produced by Will McCormick and David Harris Klein. Klein also wrote and created the series. Mike Jurisitz is the editor, sound designer, and producer of the series. The podcast is produced and narrated by Malaya Rivera-Drew. That's me. Louis Weymouth voices the character of Pierce and also produces the series. For more episodes of The Don Season 2, listen to the series on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
This is Amy Brown from 4 Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.